there's an attack coming.
My lord, this world will fall.
I need warriors. I'm building an alliance to defend ourselves.
How do you know your team's strong enough? If you can't bring down the charging bull and don't wave the red cape at it,
you were sent here for a reason. And even if it takes you the rest of your life, find out what that reason is.
Said the age of heroes would never come again.
The Discussing Network presents Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and coming off of WandaVision, I know Falcon and Winter Soldier is out, but I want to get a couple more episodes under our belt, maybe, let's say, a Falcon and Winter Soldier before we review. But considering 4 hours, I say let's talk Justice League. And who better to talk Justice League than one of the gentlemen who is with me tonight, and a gentleman who has recently talked about Justice League on his very own podcast, the Extremely Geeked Out podcast, Mr. Ron Stevens. Ron, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Good to be here.
Good to have you back. And because it's been a while since you've been on with us, so welcome back. Glad to have you.
I've been a little radio silent, just been really busy with work, and of course the pandemic and all that stuff has been really crazy busy at work, so just been hunkering down with that.
Always great to have this next gentleman, Mr. Clarence Brown. Clarence, how goes the day?
Hey, Kyle. Hey, Zack Snyder fans. Welcome to another episode. No, man, I'm glad to be back, man, and talk about what we're talking about tonight.
So let me go ahead and say right off the bat, if you have not seen the Snyder Cut, you can go out and watch the 2017 version of Justice League without a spoiler warning. But if you have not seen the 4-hour mega movie spectacular called Justice League, the Snyder Cut, put us on pause, go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Affirmative.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
And I killed Sparky, too.
I'll start with some review and say, give me the crow because I must eat crow, and take back some of the things that I've said on this and Discussing Who way back in the day about Zack Snyder, because I actually enjoyed this movie. Go ahead and give it to me, Clarence. I deserve it.
You know what? I'm going to say you're not wrong about Zack Snyder. And I've heard a lot of different people talk about this. Obviously, it's kind of a big geek culture thing to talk about lately. But I think maybe his problem is he tries to do too much at times. I can certainly see what we got with this 4-hour epic movie here. I very much feel like he just tries to put everything in, and sometimes maybe that's not good.
Okay. So is that your take? Is that your general take?
Well, let me say that from a cinematic release. Now, from an HBO Max 4-hour epic with, their own episodic slices to this masterpiece of a movie, maybe that's a bit much, a very good movie. I think it fits well in an extended HBO streaming format, and I think that really aided into the likability of this, to being able to just sit back and enjoy it for every little nook and cranny that is worth. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, man.
All right,
Clarence, you're not entirely wrong about Zach. He can do a bit over the top sometimes with his projects. But like you were saying, like this, for this to be like a 4-hour epic event, what it is, it's not even a movie. It's really an event.
Yeah.
Anything else. But it's perfect for HBO Max for something like this, because I don't think I could have sat down for four hours and just watched this the whole entire time. There's got to be some bathroom breaks watching this movie. I enjoyed this thing from start to finish, more so, and it makes, but also I'm kind of like a little like perplexed, like, or just a little wondering basically why they thought this wasn't better than Whedon's 2017 cut. Do I think it should have been 4 hours if they were gonna put this out in the theaters? No, maybe 3 hours, but it definitely explains a lot more, and I definitely see what exactly Snyder was trying to do Batman v Superman when you have the Snyder cut.
So let me segue this into, and I want to ask Clarence this question, because we've had so much fun with Batman versus Superman. And my question is, do you think this takes off some of the sting of Batman versus Superman?
Sting? What do you mean by sting, sir? No, I can't.
The pain that I have watching Batman versus Superman.
I think that this movie, or this epic event, is where I put it, it really very much lets you see what Snyder's vision was for the DC universe in the movies. You really get to see what he was going for. You really see how he ties everything so elegantly in together, which I thought was wonderful. I do get a lot of people's take that this isn't the version of the characters that they're used to. They are slightly different, but when you take into maybe a not so great film in Batman v Superman, and a lot of people's opinions, and what I feel is a pretty good film in Man of Steel, when you take the totality of all of that to start to stitch it all together, you get to see a little bit of the overall scope of what Snyder may have had in mind, but didn't get to initially complete. So yeah, I definitely think it makes Batman v Superman better. But I have to tell you, man, I didn't go back and watch Justice League, the original cinematic release, before watching this version, the Snyder cut. I went back and watched the director's cut of Batman v Superman, and I kind of enjoyed it. The Wonder Woman scenes are great. The Ben Affleck doing his Batfleck impression was great. Did it have problems? Yes. Was I forget the actor's name that played Lex Luthor. Wasn't he annoying in the
Jesse
worst
Eisenberg,
character?
Jesse Eisenberg. Yes.
Yeah. Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah.
Yeah. Was he the worst character in the DCEU? Yes, by far. He's the only person that has a more punchable face than the new Captain America guy.
Yeah.
But you know, there were certainly problems with that movie. And when you look at the storytelling, and that's kind of what I get into, maybe Zack Snyder tries to do too much. And when it comes to cutting that down and putting it into a theater, you wind up leaving things on the chopping board or on the floor that would make the movie more cohesive and make much more sense. Because I did enjoy the director's cut of Batman v Superman much, much more.
So let's take what we remember, because I'm going to get to something that I did in just a minute. But let's take what we remember from the theatrical cut and the way you felt, let's say, leaving the theater. And let's take this movie and take out some of the quote-unquote non-essential scenes, but the true Zack Snyder vision of what we just watched, and we put them, they're both 2 hours even. Which do you think make a better movie? Which version makes a better movie in you guys' opinion? Same length, same, but different visions. Which is better?
I think Snyder is still better if you put it in the same time frame as the theatrical cut. Point being is that it actually carried on what was going on in Batman v Superman. Joss Whedon's version is completely different from, like, it's a completely different story. But there was also this other looming subplot about, of course, Superman becoming evil. It just seems a little different. Because even then, when Joss Whedon took on the helm to finish up the movie, his quote was that he wasn't going to take away anything from what Zack Snyder was trying to do. If anything, he was just going to add on to it.
Oh, he added, but yes, he took.
He added, but he took a lot more out. It was a whole different. So when you watch Zack Snyder's movie, it's a whole different movie.
The three of us can go and identify probably 45 minutes to 30 minutes that can easily be cut out the film, and it still have the same nature of what the story that he's trying to tell. I do feel there are two essential bookends that just paints the movie in a totally different light, and that's the intro we get.
Oh yes.
And as well as the end we get with Flash. So those two scenes alone, I feel like, are central to the story that's trying to be told. And without those, it's just I really have to go back and watch the Whedon version again. But I just, that movie was so unmemorable. I remember the big tentpole action set pieces, but as far as the story had no really gravity and staying in my mind or anything. It just kind of was forgettable at best.
I only seen it one time in the theater. That was the only time I've seen it. I'm good. It's that bad to me that I actually remember it.
So as a kid, I was one of these people who, if something were changing, like if they changed a TV theme song, I would sit there and record one version of it on a cassette tape and record the new version, try to pick out how it was different. So grown up Kyle watches the first 45 minutes of the Whedon version before he starts watching the 4-hour version of the Snyder Cut. And I even stopped twice and watched a little bit more so that I could compare and contrast. So the perfect way to describe the difference in this movie, the one that was released in theaters starts with a scene that is Superman basically signing autographs and talking to kids. Whereas the one we just saw, the Snyder Cut, starts with the end of Superman versus Batman. And to me, made Superman versus Batman the one I love to call Dawn of Boredom not be quite so boring.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also how the death of Superman is so essential to everything that takes place in this movie.
Yes.
It's the catalyst that awakens the mother boxes and kicks everything off.
Yep.
That brings Steppenwolf in. Having that not in the other movie, it just feels like a huge misstep and a huge piece that led to the cookie cutterness that we got. If cookie cutterness is a word, probably isn't.
Did you guys notice, let's take Aquaman for a moment. Did you guys notice in the Snyder version, he was still a great character, but he didn't have all the little one-liners he seemed to have in the first movie?
You could say that for all the characters, like all of them, like Cyborg, Flash, Aquaman, they didn't really get that moment, because really that's what Justice League was for, because in Batman v Superman, you got those video clips of them showing that they exist. You're thinking, okay, that maybe they might get their movie or something or whatever, but no, but they're going to get their story told in Justice League. So you got to understand them a little bit more and actually develop them, because their characters weren't really fully developed in Josh Whedon's cut. Having, like you're saying, having Aquaman have some of those little cheap one-liners and having Flash just being the nonstop comic relief. Cyborg, his story was kind of put in, like, in the back burner in Josh Whedon's. He didn't really have that much of a story.
All right, so I want to get to Cyborg in just a moment, but let me say this real quick about Aquaman. The scene with Bruce going to see Aquaman, it was completely recut in the Whedon version, and there was some elements where they put the the writing at the bottom, you know, where they translated that wasn't even in the Snyder version that we got to see. That to me, the one we saw in the Snyder version was so much better. It didn't have the comedy because it really didn't need the comedy because you weren't going there to be comical. You were going there to find somebody.
Well, that's kind of the thing that I guess that Josh, that you'd expect Whedon to bring is those character moments, those quips. You know, I'm thinking one of my favorite shows, Firefly, and that's what I love it for, those quips that you get in it. And of course, he's done in many of the things as well as the Avengers, I believe. That's kind of what I, coming away from the first movie, that those are the parts I remember most, even over the story. So it's interesting now that we're getting kind of this revised version of where that's kind of a lot of what he added and really took away the story. So it seems like he tried to add heart, but the story suffered, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. That does make sense.
So let's talk real quick, and then I'll get into Cyborg, about something that he added that completely wasn't in this one. And I didn't really think about it at first, but I want to see if you guys pick up on this. He adds a family in a war-torn part of the world, and something bad happens to them. Does that sound familiar to you guys in any way?
Yeah, if you're referring to the Age of Ultron.
He did that with one. The family of four in a war-torn area, just superimposed that he used in Age of Ultron, that into Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was, and I guess because I just watched Age of Ultron recently, it was like, where have I,
you nailed that on the head, because it, watching Josh Whedon's Justice League felt like I was watching an Avengers movie. Honestly, it really did. Honestly, I think Age of Ultron broke Whedon. I think what he went through, if you remember all like the subplot drama that was going on filming the movie, I think that really messed up with his psyche in creating other movies.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Talking about their war-torn family. Now, that was in the place Steppenwolf was building his empire, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I loved how in Snyder's version, it just felt like they went to the site of Chernobyl or something. It was a site where nobody was living. It was like Chernobyl. And I was like, oh, that is great. That's awesome. And we didn't have any mention of that. And I just think we didn't need it.
And you didn't need skies and all that hoopla.
Honestly, I think that was like the only family living in that town.
Yes.
I didn't see anybody else after that.
Oh, man.
And there's this scene at the beginning where Batman is fighting this parademon in Gotham that's totally not needed and totally gone, from this one. So let's talk Cyborg, because Ryan, you mentioned a few minutes ago that his story landed on the cutting room floor, and it did. My question is, and this is probably the $64,000 question, maybe even the $1 million question.
I better get it right.
Did Ray Fisher have a gripe? And if so, was it a valid gripe?
I believe it was valid. This movie, honestly, out of all of the extra characters, like the other characters that are added into Justice League, I felt like this movie kind of catered to Cyborg. And Aquaman are making a debut from Justice League, but this was really Cyborg's origin story. You didn't really get that in Josh Whedon. You didn't get the full-on story about what happened to him, him dealing with what happened to him, basically just getting that full-on character arc. You didn't get that in Josh Whedon. If he felt robbed of that, he's very valid of that.
I would love to go back because I wonder when there's a greater story around him and talking about allegations with Josh Whedon in the filming process. But I wonder when did all that spark, did that have an effect on how much of him we saw in the movie? Good. Go back and look at the timeline because I don't know. So this is just me speaking out of my tail here. I can see why he would be mad because he is the heart of this movie. His character is the heart of this movie, if you ask me. And so essential to maybe our understanding of the Mother Box and how it culminates into this just the epic scene at the end of the movie. How do you take that away and have the same movie?
You don't. And that's the problem, right?
Yeah, it's just like they just totally got rid of him in the movie. And I really don't understand it. Now, I will say I didn't like his – I still don't like the CG for Cyborg.
No.
There was some shaky moments like where his – it wasn't really completely lining up with him.
Yeah. It just looks fake to me. I'm just not a fan of it.
I still like the guy in Doom Patrol. And I'm not necessarily saying from the actor perspective guy in the Doom Patrol, but the look, they could have gone with the polished silver a little bit more.
Well, I will say I liked, compared to Doom Patrol and Justice League, I like Justice League Cyborg. But on the top of that, I think what Clarence was saying, there could be a better way to actually define him as being a robot because like there's too much going on. Like, you can't really tell his anatomy, like what's all going on there. It's just like a hunk of metal. Doom Patrol, it seems like it was just basically put on him more than anything else.
True.
Yeah, I think a happy medium would have been better because I think the movie version is 2CG. And the Doom Patrol is too practical.
Yeah.
So maybe like somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle,
Well, you know, in the Doom Patrol, it's like, well, you did lose an arm and you did. But in this one, it literally looks like you resurrected him from the dead because there's no, or you kept him alive on machines because there was nothing but a torso and a head left. Everything else was gone. So there, if there were still, you kept oxygen going to the brain, basically.
Yeah.
What about Wonder Woman? Did you notice anything different in Wonder Woman?
I took the bad taste of 1984 out of my mouth.
I've yet to see that yet, man.
Just don't.
So I'm doing you a favor not watching Justice League. You're doing me a favor not watching.
All right. So here's what I would do if I were you. I would go to the end credits and watch the end credits because that was my favorite part of this movie. So there you go.
Okay.
I did notice that they did tone down the brightness of her costume again, kind of to mimic what we saw in the Justice League version. I mean, the Batman versus Superman version. And the scenes that she was in, specifically the scene where she came into the bank and or wherever they were and rescued these people, was so much more brutal. She killed a couple of people in there. And
it was awesome.
It was so awesome, but they totally, because I went back right after I watched it, I was like, I don't think I saw that. And I rewatched that scene again from the other movie. And they totally digitized it out where there was blood spatter on the wall and all that. They totally washed the walls on that.
I was watching that, and I was like, oh, she killed everybody. But, it totally different version from Josh Whedon. You didn't see it, like, she just probably just beat them up or whatever, but she took them out. She took them out. She definitely had a lot of more empowerment moments in Zack Snyder's cut.
Yes, indeed.
Desaturation, of course, that's signature move in Zack Snyder's movies. Nothing is full in color with his films. Everything is always dim. Some people don't like it. Some people love it, you know.
So let's take the color out and replace it with black and say, Superman in the black costume. Gentlemen, Clarence, I'll start with you. Would you rather the red, the blue, and the yellow, or would you rather the black costume? Which was your choice?
The black certainly was more epic, I think. And just Superman's journey, although it was only slightly different in parts, I think how it all culminates in the very end when he makes his triumphant return, you know, right at the right second. You know, it's just great. And that's... This is kind of where Zack Snyder is at his best, in my opinion, in the way he portrays some of these cinematic moments. And like the moment Superman takes the axe, or Steppenwolf's axe, as he was trying to get Cyborg there at the last minute, he's made Superman look so great. And I know some people don't like this version of Superman, and I get your, you know, I see what you mean there, but I'd love Henry Cavill as Superman. I really do. I mean, I've been down since Man of Steel to see him do more, play the role more. And I just loved how he was so different in this version of the movie.
All right. So what did you think, Ron? Did you like the black costume and that version or that presentation of Superman?
I did like it. But I guess this is where this part traditionalist part of me comes out. But if I'm not mistaken, the black suit was meant for him to recharge, right?
You are 100% correct, yes. That was what he wore when he was resurrected, quote-unquote, after being killed, quote-unquote.
Yeah, so my thing was, why did he need it? Because it seemed like he was good to go when he brought him back to life. Kind of raised my eyebrow a little bit more is that when he's walking through the ship, he's looking at all the suits that are apparently in that ship. He looked at his suit, his traditional blue and yellow red suit, and just kept on walking and decided, oh, hey, let's go with the black suit instead. But I did like it. I did like the design of it. And also just go on to, I still love the version of the Superman they put in the DCEU, because it's different from what I've known Superman to be. Always that Boy Scout, always does right, no matter what type character. And just basically, because, you know, it's really hard to write a good story about Superman, because he's invulnerable. I mean, he pretty much does anything he can. He can fly, you know, bulletproof, all that stuff. It's really hard to find something to challenge him.
And something new, and a new way to present Superman.
Right, right. I think Zack Snyder was pretty on point in interpreting this type of version of Superman.
And just because you said that, let me say this real quick. If anyone wants to see a good reimagining of Superman that we've in a way that we have never seen Superman presented before on television, go out and watch the CW's Superman and Lois, because I guarantee you it is something that you've never seen in a situation that you've never seen on TV before with Superman. So if that's not a good enough spoiler warning or a hint to go watch it, go watch it. Clarence, I think you've seen some of it, haven't you?
It feels like Smallville 2.0 in some ways. Well, not to give too much away from what the show is, I'll just leave it at that. But first episode, you see what I'm talking about. But also, I think they really spent some money on some of the computer graphics. You know, we really didn't see Clark flying much in Smallville. Just a little at the end there. Spoiler for the 10 season show. They really put some money into CG. And I think it really looks great for a show that's on television to have some of the spectacle that their CG has.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of CG and spectacles, there was a CG spectacle that was completely rewritten. And I'm not even going to get into Steppenwolf. If you want to say if you liked the look, whichever look you want to like better, that's cool. Go ahead and say it. But I don't get the reason and or the purpose of rewriting the story so that Steppenwolf is the central bad guy of the entire story, so much so that the scene in the flashback scene that Diana is talking about and tells about that goes back and lays out the whole three-box trilogy thing is all about Steppenwolf, where in the Snyder Cut, it's not all about Steppenwolf. It's about Darkseid, whichever way you want to say it. So why? Why take Darkseid out? Thoughts? Clarence, why don't you go first?
I can slightly see why you wouldn't want to show him due to maybe complicate the story a bit more. But to me, in the Snyder's version, it made the story make more sense because Steppenwolf, which we apparently see, I feel like kind of, like we get this in, I can't talk. Seems like we get this in both versions, but he's not really good enough or big or bad enough to be the guy. So it's obvious that he's working for somebody. And that's even if you're a dummy like me and don't know all the backstory of Steppenwolf. So like, oh, you know, by them showing that he's working for Darkseid and actually see he's doing all of this in an effort to get back in the good graces, I do like how they framed that he was actually serving a more powerful being of Darkseid. So I really love how they laid that out in this version. Again, like in the other version, you really can't tell what's going on there. But it did kind of feel a bit analogous to what we saw in the first Wonder Woman movie. Who was the guy we saw there? Ares. Yeah. Like, we didn't really see him working for anybody else. I don't know if they're trying to make it similar to that. What are you guys' thoughts?
He did resemble Ares from Wonder Woman a lot in the Whedon cut. But I guess that goes around to what we were talking about with character design with Zack Snyder. Sometimes it can be too much. Sometimes you can't really make sense of what you're looking at. I get it. But at the same time, it's supposed to be like he's an alien. So, I mean, he's from another world. So what he's looked like is not going to really shouldn't really make sense to you because he's from a whole different world. But I liked Zack Snyder's version because even if you don't really show him in the movie, at least put him in a post-credit scene or something, you know, to correct. Get, you know, it's like, yes. Hey, this is what's coming up next, you know, to get you guys geared up, whatnot. But to just not put him out at all, no mention other than a name drop, maybe, it was a little disappointing.
Totally agree. And I don't know, and I don't want to blame that one on Whedon. What that, my gut tells me, that sounds more corporate, as in, let's not put Darkseid out so soon, and let's put him in Justice League 2.
Yeah, wouldn't put all the blame on Josh Whedon as much as social media has done so far. WB has got their hands dirty on this as well, too. They deserve some of the blame as well, because even now, they're still acting weird about this movie, because this Zack Snyder cut has gotten up mostly just good praises so far, and too much to the point you would think, okay, WB might think, you know what, let's give the reins back to Snyder and let him finish his vision. They went on to say they have no plans on putting Zack Snyder back onto Justice League.
Yeah, well, see, you know, Clarence, we've made the comment before about how the, you know, Warner Brothers and ultimately Time Warner, which now, of course, is run by AT&T, and there's a whole bunch of publishing shuffling and maneuvering going on, et cetera, and so forth. But we've said before that it's interesting that Marvel, who just now is getting in the last 18 months, 12 to 18 months as of this recording, are getting their characters back under the same umbrella where they can actually control them. They took C and D characters and made them household names. Warner Brothers had characters that were household names that they owned and they had the rights to, but never did anything with them and never did anything right with them. And that's just sad for the characters and for the audiences, in my opinion.
Yeah, it always is kind of hard with the top DC superheroes because they're basically gods for the most part, you know, and it's kind of hard to make those characters relatable without rehashing some of the stuff we've seen in, you know, the myriad of Batman movies and Superman movies that have come before. So definitely interesting to see them branch out to Aquaman and, you know, these Wonder Woman movies that we've gotten. But, you know, even with Wonder Woman 1984, we see where they've missed the mark terribly. I didn't ever had a thought in my mind that the second Wonder Woman movie would not be good. It never crossed my mind that it wouldn't be good. But somehow Even with the heralded Patty Jenkins, they somehow managed to make it a bad movie. So, man, I don't know. Maybe it's a lack of direction. Somebody at the top is not orchestrating the pieces correctly. And to see in the midst of all the turmoil, to see, you know, Snyder, who left the project for personal reasons, come back and restore his original vision, a vision that maybe even you and me were like, oh, we don't know, because, again, Batman v Superman left a bad taste in our mouth. And, you know, a vision that a lot of people probably didn't have confidence in. And if not for the rabid fan base, we may have never even seen this. So it's they really need to try to get their house in order. And it's really no excuse for putting out content that's not at least good. It doesn't have to be great, but it has to be good. And I'm gonna tell you for it, but I think Captain Marvel is probably their best, or Shazam is probably their best movie as of late, other than the first Wonder Woman. I thought was great as well.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to turn this into a 4-hour epic, so I want to end this one by saying, not on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, how would you rate it? Because I think we pretty much all enjoyed it. And I'm going to instead ask, and Ron, I'll start with you, what was your favorite thing that was different about this version that you went away saying, this was what I like most about the difference? And I'll actually give you 2 slots. What were your 2 most favorite changes that you saw?
Well, number one was what Batman v Superman was basically like the flagship of what Zack Snyder wanted to do with these future DC movies. I finally got that. I finally understand what he was trying to do. And that's something that I will always take from the Zack Snyder cut. Because like, to see all what he was showing, like the whole Batman, you know, premonition and the future, the nightmare scene, and you're wondering how all of this going to play out, and you're thinking, oh, is this going to be all in Justice League? And you find out Justice League is not even the big picture of what he was trying to do.
Yeah,
it was all just another chapter to what he was leading up to. So that much I greatly appreciate him doing and seeing him bringing that out. Even if nothing else comes after this, at least I know now what he was actually trying to do from that point on.
Well, a few things. I do agree with Ron that this is in a strange, weird kind of, you know, internet fan base yelling to the masses way. We got the Zack Snyder trilogy. And it would be disappointing if this is all we get. But I do think, as far as if you look at it like a trilogy, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Justice League, if you look at it that way, I think it's a beautiful trilogy, even though there's some hiccups in there, of course. But I think if you want to look at that, if that's all we get from the Snyderverse, I think I'm happy with that. But I still kind of want to see more. That being said, for this movie specifically, I love the Themyscira stuff. We got the extended version of that. In any scene in this movie where they extended it, we get to see more. It just worked for being on streaming. You want to spend more time with these characters, and having some of these scenes extended, you know, maybe with too much slow-mo and singing at times, but I just ate it all up. And we didn't even mention the Flash. I think he, along with Cyborg in this movie, fared much, much better. Ron, you mentioned some of the jokes and stuff earlier, but I just like how they showed his mechanic, yeah, how they tweaked that scene. And we come back to the same mechanic at the very end of the movie to save the day.
Yeah.
If we want to talk about Snyder's writing, but that bit there is so beautiful. And one thing we always clamor for, when we're talking about giving us an explanation for things, they don't just tell us. They tell us and they show us. And they show us again at the very end of the movie to save the day. So all of that was great. And also, I think, again, I mentioned the bookends. The end of the movie, the change there with the Flash and what we see from Cyborg, Superman, and Wonder Woman defeating Steppenwolf. Just beautiful, and left me with the warm and tinglies. Now, we can also talk about the extended stuff, which I'm not a big fan of. The post-apocalyptic scenes at the end, I feel like we kind of, it went on like the Lord of the Rings. It just kept going on. It kept going. And I couldn't know without that. Like, you had me in a good place with them standing on the top of the hill and all of the heroes looking into the vast distance. But we kind of went into that extended part. And that's the part, if I have to give any demerits to this movie, the Justice League, the Snyder Cut, it would be that extended last. The new stuff, actually, all that new stuff at the end, I didn't like at all.
Now, I was fine with the Martian Manhunter at the end, but I'm with you. I did not like the Joker and the dystopian future. I could have done without that. I didn't need that.
I'm not okay with the Martian Manhunter in the movie. I mean, at least I was okay with it as long as he was more involved in the movie versus him just, you know, talking with Lois and just stopping by at Bruce's house for a quick moment. For me, I felt like that was a little ham-fisted.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like that moment where he was portraying as Martha talking to Lois, I felt like that really should have been Martha actually talking to Lois.
Well, there was a version of that same scene where it was, but it was in the Daily Planet, and it just didn't work for me. Because remember, that was one of the scenes, Clarence, I kept complaining about because I felt it just didn't work and it felt forced. Yeah. And now I understand why, because it wasn't where the two characters were at. And now knowing that it was reshot, same basic concept of the convo, but just she was at work. And she came to see her at work, and it was same dialogue, but it was a lot more upbeat and, you know, whoop-de-doo with us and whatever. And it just felt weird. It didn't, even though it wasn't her, it was the Martian Manhunter, it just felt better in this version.
But I don't know, just Bruce's, I guess, his manner of the whole situation of just an alien just stopping by at his house. just to talk to him about, hey, you know, pick me up next time you guys need trouble, or I'll be right there for you. That part I didn't care too much. I liked the dystopian scene because I needed to wipe away my memory of Jared Leto's Joker from Suicide Squad. I needed something to replace that, and I got it now, so I'm happy now.
I think the biggest thing, and again, I'm not a big fan of the New Gods, but I did like seeing a real live computerized version of Darkseid, whatever. I liked seeing that. I liked seeing Deseed. I even liked seeing Granny Goodness, who I absolutely despise. But I liked seeing them. That was cool for me. So that, I think, was the biggest thing that I would take away. Other than if I were to give a number two, it would be it did give me some appreciation of Batman versus Superman. And I might even want to call it Dawn of Not Quite as Boredom as what it was originally. So, and that's a lot coming from me. Believe it.
We accept your apology, Kyle.
So you've ingrained in my brain so much. What is the real subtitle of the movie? Is it Dawn of Justice?
It's Dawn of Justice.
See, that even makes more sense now because we see how it directly plays in the Justice League, which, I mean, even from where we leave off exactly. You know? Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, my last question of the night, as of this recording, you may be listening to us in the bright early morning, but as of this recording, it is nighttime. So, gentlemen, last question. Ron, I will start with you. Where else might you be found on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook as well, the Stream of Geeked Out podcast, and also just hang out, man. Just let me know what you guys think, because the latest episode of Stream of Geeked Out podcast is out now, episode 31, True Justice, reviewing of this particular episode is to get just what we, me and my host Devin Johnson, what we thought about the movie. It was fun having talked with him. Hadn't had on the show in quite a while, and it was good to have him on there for the first time because he was the original host of Streamy Geeked Out. Had a good time talking with each other. It was real fun.
Yeah, I'll just add that I did listen to you guys' episode, and it was good to hear two people who are fans of Snyder's work dive in and gush a little bit about it. I really enjoyed that, because you don't hear too many people that are just huge fans about Zack Snyder's work.
Yeah,
a lot of them are either complaining or, you know, release a Snyder cut, which we finally got. For me, you can find me by heading over to DiscussingTrek.com, where we talk about all things Trek. We're currently reviewing the best of TOS, and we are 6 episodes in that run with about 3 or 4 more to go. So if you want to jump in on our best of TOS list, you can check it out by going to DiscussingTrek.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And if everyone listening would like to find out all the other shows that we are involved in, you can find all of our shows at discussingnetwork.com. So, gentlemen, as always, it has been a pleasure talking to both of you. And for everyone listening, thank you for spending some time with us. You did not have to do so, and we very much appreciate it. And as always, we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.